Das hat er sich in der Sprache jetzt geschlagen, wenn Yehudim sagt, wenn die Wamm ist, darf ein Wav. Yehudim named Shmuel said, if the Eva gets a hole, which then closes itself up, if the plug holds even when the man emits Zerah, he's still valid. If not, he's possible. Rava said, this must be talking about even where the hole is in the Atara itself. We find that Shmuel says this as well. Rabbi, the son of Rabbi Yosef Yosef, how do we get this person to emit Zerah and check the holy answer? We take hot barley bread and put it by his rectum. Abaye said, not everyone is as pure as Yaakov Avinu, so who never had a seminal discharge until he had beer with Leah for the first time. So we don't have to go through these lengths to cause someone to emit Zerah. Rather, we can just pass women's clothing in front of him and cause him to have thoughts that will make him emit Zerah. Rabbi said, not everyone's like Barzillai, who lived an immoral life. Rather, we can use the first method. Bryce says there's a hole in the Aver, he's possible because the Zerah leaves via the hole and can't produce a child. If the hole is plugged, he's valid because he can still have children. This is a type of psul that can become valid. What's the Bryce suggesting that when it says that this is a type of psul that can become valid? It comes to exclude a layer that has grown over a hole in the lung and teaches that the hole still makes the animal with the hole to be considered a trefa. Ravida Baravan explained, to close a hole, we take a piece of barley and cut around the hole using the barley, causing it to bleed. We then smear it with fats. We then take a large ant and cause it to bite into the wound and then decapitate the ant, leaving the head to hold the skin together. Gemara says only a barley should be used to cut, not metal, because metal will make the wound worse. Also, this method only works for a small hole, not a big one. Rav Huna said, if someone urinates through two places, meaning from the place that discharges urine, from the place that discharges there, he's possible. Rav said, we don't pass him like the son, meaning like Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, as we just stated, or the father, Rav Huna, who said that the woman engages is with another woman, is also possible to become married to a kohen. We don't pass him like either of them. Zuck the Mishnah Ptua Dakan Kushocha may marry a Giyuris or a freed maidservant and only are usher from marrying into the Kahal. Fekmar the Esav Sheshas may a Kain who is a Ptua Dakan marry a Giyuris or a freed slave. Do we say the Kain retains the status of Kedusha and may not marry a Giyuris? Or does he not retain his status of Kedusha and then therefore he may marry a Giyuris? If Sheshas said it, Bryce says that a Yisrael who is a Ptua Dakan is mutter to marry Nesina. Now if the Yisrael would retain his status of Kedusha, he should not be allowed to marry her, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yisrachat in Bom. Rav said the Brice is no proof because the allowance has nothing to do with the status of Kedusha. It has to do with the fact that we don't want Jews fathering children who will still worship Avodah Zarah. Therefore, their Brice, if they're Gerim, a Jew may marry them. It's only the Rabbanon who said that even then a Jew shouldn't marry them. However, the Rabbanon only goes there for a person who can have children, not for a Petua Daka. Based on this fact, the Rabbanon should be Geyser and prohibit a Mamzer from marrying an Asina, yet we find that they were not so Geyser. And Mar says, we must say the Rabbanon were not Geyser for people who are puzzled. Rav then said, the Pasuk that says one may not marry them must be talking about after the conversion, because when they're Goyim, there's no concept of the marriage with them at all. Therefore, the reason why the Petua Daka may marry her must be because he's no longer in his state of Kedusha, like Rav Sheshah said. B'Yosef asked, the Pasuk says that Shlomi married the daughter of Pyro. We see that the concept of marriage with Goyim exists. Mer says she had first been Megayer. Abraye says that she did not accept, we don't accept Gerim at the time of the daughter of Shlomi. So how could that she converted? Mer says the reason we don't accept Gerim is because we're concerned that the people are converting to enjoy the success that the Yidden had at the time. The daughter of Pyro had her own success and didn't have that reason for converting. How was Shlomi allowed to marry a first generation Mitzvah when the Pasuk says only a third generation Mitzvah may marry into the Kahal? The Papa said the Pasuk says that Shlomi clung to her, and it doesn't mean that he actually married her, so therefore it must mean that he did not actually marry her. I know the Pasuk says he did marry her, and Mar says because he loved her so much, the Torah considers it as if he married her. Ravini Eser Vashi, our mission says that Petua Daka may marry a Giyaris, which suggests that he would be also to marry an Asina. And for the Gemara, he said the end of the mission says that he's only also to marry into the Kahal. This suggests that marrying an Asina is mutter. Obviously, we can't bring a proof from the Mishnah because it has a meshmois each way. Zuck the Mishnah. A male convert from Amon or Moav are also forever for all generations from marrying into the Kahal, but the females are mutter. Mitzvah and Adomi are only also until the third generation, both males and females. Rav Shimon says that the females are mutter immediately based on the Kahal v'chomer. If the females are mutter from Amon and Moav, where the males are also forever, then surely they're mutter immediately from Mitzvah and Adomi, where even the men eventually become mutter. They said to him, if you have a tradition to this effect, we'll accept it. If it's based on a Kahal v'chomer, we can refute it. He said he learned this as a tradition, and therefore it cannot be refuted. How do we know that a female convert from Amon and Moav may marry into the Kahal? Rabbi Yechanan says we learn it from the story of David when he went to fight Goliath. Shaul asked whether David was fit to be king because he saw that Shaul's clothing, when he gave it to David to put on for war with Goliath, they miraculously fit him. Doeg told Shaul, forget about whether he's fit to be king. I don't even know if he's fit to marry into the Kahal because he comes from Rus, who was a convert from Moav. Avner told him, we've learned that females are permitted. Doeg said, if so, we should also say that female mamzerim are permitted. Avner said, the word mamzer means that there's a mum of strangeness and that applies equally to women. Doeg asked, maybe we should say that a female mitri is also permitted. Avner said, the Pasuk explains why the Amoini and Moavi may not marry into the Kahal because they didn't give bread and water to the Yidden. Since women don't go out to greet guests, they're not faulted for not having done so. Doeg said, they should be faulted for not giving the Jewish women to eat and drink, Avner remained silent. Shaul then referred to David as Elam, a youth. The choice of words teaches that Shaul told them to go to Beis Medrash and ask about this halacha that was Elam, hidden from them. They asked, and they were told that female converts of Ammon and Moav may marry into the Kal, so therefore David could marry into the Kal. Doeg asked all his questions, and they were ready, therefore, the passing that David was asked to marry into the Kal based on Doeg's questions. When this happened, Amasa's father threatened to kill anyone who didn't follow the ruling that allows these female converts of Ammon and Moav, because he had learned from the Bezin of Shmuel that they're mutter. Since the women should have greeted the Jewish women, why were they attacked and not punished? Mor says it's because a woman is supposed to remain at home, and therefore they don't get punished for not having left the house.